So I got some really nice compliments from you guys on the break. Somebody told me that they spent a week at a conference. They got more today than they did a whole week. And this is somebody who's very well known. And someone else told me that they got pages of notes. So I'm thrilled. I hope everybody feels that way.
And have good music.
And I got complimented on my music. Now, this is my event music. So tell Ziegler we like Howard's music when you... Okay. Man by the name of Frank Outlaw said this. He said, when you change your thinking, you change your beliefs. When you change your beliefs, you change your expectations. When you change your expectations, you change your attitude. When you change your attitude, you change your behavior. When you change your behavior, you change your performance. When you change your performance, you change your life. So watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become words. Watch your words, because your words become actions. Watch your actions, because your actions become habits. Watch your habits, because that becomes your character. Watch your character, because that becomes your destiny. What I would encourage you all to do, and what my book, The Think and Be Phenomenal, The Five Levels of Being Phenomenal, is all about changing habits. And Tom talked about that this morning. When you learn these sales systems, when you learn these marketing systems, and then you start implementing them, they need to become habitual. That every time you get an objection, the first thing you're going to do is what? Ask a question. You're going to train. That's just a habit. So there are five levels of changing a habit, reaching a goal, or developing a skill. Can anybody tell me, take a stab, take a guess at what the first one is?
Changing a habit?
Yep. Or developing a skill or reaching a goal.
Planning.
Preparing.
Set a goal.
Set a goal. Okay, so step one is awareness. All right, you. How many of you became aware of some things today that you weren't aware of before, right? The second level is the harder level. Second level is being willing to change. Get out of that comfort zone, right? And in order to do that, you got to understand the benefits that are waiting for you to go through that pain and face the fear and everything else that you have to face. That's right. Level three is focus. Intense, intentional focus. This is what I want. This is the habit I'm going to change. This is the goal I'm going after. Level four is commitment. And then level five is character. See, Zig said if you want to have something different, you have to do something different. In order to do something different, you have to be something different. That's why this is called Think and Be Phenomenal. Because as you continue to practice, when you plan and prepare, then you can expect. But you're going to go through those levels, and most people aren't aware of those levels. So who wants to share with me one thing that you've gotten out of the last session that we just had together? Okay. All right. Rhonda was first.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Can I actually share?
Yes, please. And she's learning.
Yeah, that's exactly what I learned. And I was just telling Rob that when we were outside. It's to slow down and ask questions. And about myself, that I can become defensive of my of the company, of the value that we can create. And
yes.
So stopping and
yeah. It changed my life. It changed my life. Through a very painful experience. That book is dedicated to my son because we went through a lot of trouble, and through learning how to communicate with him is how I discovered the power. I'd already always done a pretty good job in sales, but then when you transfer that to building the team, to personal relationships, Yes, it does eventually drive people crazy. Like when I ask my wife or my son, now can I ask you a question? They go, no. So eventually it does run out on you, but it works great with prospects. And it works great with coaching. But I learned that there are four different behavior styles. I learned that in order to communicate with someone, I've got to find out what's in their heart. You know, Stephen Covey said, seek to understand before being understood. It's changed my life. Okay, how many of you are interested in learning what the most profitable sale ever made is? All right, the most profitable sale, and this is in your book. What page are we on, team?
11.
Yeah, at the top of page 11, the most profitable sale ever made is the upsell. Is the upsell, the add-on sale, all right? How many of you have an add-on sale that you can offer? All right, Stephen, what is it?
To complement our services, we sell Teledoc, which is a 24/7 teleservice where you talk to a doctor, could get a prescription, et cetera.
Okay, what else? What we got?
I do training. Once I get in there with doing the placing the employee,
okay.
I do coaching and training.
We can offer training. What else we got?
Hair bows.
This
is Texas. We sell lots of hair bows.
I buy clothes. I can get bows. Okay. What else?
Botox.
Okay. So let me ask you a few questions. Number one, how many of you believe that you and your people are making the maximum number of upsells possible at this moment? Second question is, why is it the most profitable sale ever made?
You're already there.
You're already there. Translation is, you've already invested the time, money, and energy to acquire that customer, right? Most of the investment has already been made. That's right. Why do you think that we don't upsell as much as we should or could?
With my team, a lot of times they think, well, they've already paid $3,000 for the service.
Yep.
So why would I ask them for another $1,500?
Right.
Fear of loss of that personnel.
That's right.
Laziness.
Fear, lazy.
Forget.
What else? Don't want to scare them away, okay? How many of us are busy? So we're too busy to upsell, right? I'm going to convince you, in fact, you're going to convince yourself right now that not making the upsell is actually doing your customer wrong. All right, but before we do that, I want you to understand the cost to you and your company. I want you to take just a moment and think about, if you just focus just a little bit, how much you could add to your business every day just in add-on sales. Just throw a figure out there. All right, write it down real quick. Write it down. Yeah, how much per day if you focused on it, had some training on it, paid attention to it, how much could you add to your business? Maybe you put it down per consultant, per store, whatever the case might be. Put a figure down. In fact, in your book where it says the cost to you, page 11, is put that in that first space there, and then times that number by five and then by 52. And somebody call out a number.
$650,000.
$650,000 and we're too busy, too afraid, or we haven't taken the time to train ourselves. See, when you put it in that kind of context, it doesn't make any sense, does it? And this is why we need to be looking at these kind of things so that we know how much money is on the line. This is going back to the Radiant Barrier. This is money that should be already in your bank account. Not what you can add to. This is the cost to you. But you're afraid that you might offend your customer. I mean, after all, nobody wants to be that used car salesman that's just trying to push things on people, right? But I'm going to help you convince yourself right now that you're actually doing your customer wrong by not upselling them. Under this premise, is there anything that you're going to add on to the sale that doesn't benefit them? So what you're telling me is that not only is that costing you $650,000 a year or more or less, depending on that, they're not going to get the benefit of the product. They're not going to get the benefit of working with you, someone who has a phenomenal reputation, who has the experience, who has the training, who has the customer service systems, and who offers a guarantee and stands behind their work. And here's the worst part. How many of you have unscrupulous competitors? I was just talking to somebody on the break, and man, their competitors are doing some bad stuff that they can't even talk about publicly. This is why we should sell hard right here. Do you want your most despicable, unscrupulous, unphenomenal competitor to be getting your customer, your client? Think about it. All right, let's do our sales assessment. This is on page 12. And you know how to do it right now, right? You know how to do it now?
Yeah.
1 to 10, add it up, divide by 10. All right? You can unplug the whole thing. I'm glad you asked. So I want this Lexus, but it's not in my budget. So how about if we get you in this model instead? Keep the customer. Let's change the scope. That's right. Thank you, sir. Like CRM, software to keep up with your clients, your database management program. So how are you guys doing on this one? How are your scores? Okay. You know, people sometimes ask me, they say, are you a motivational speaker? I'm like, no. If anything, I'm a demotivational speaker. Because you look at these assessments and you get depressed. Wait till the next ones come. The fourth one is what gets most people. Is everybody done? Okay, let's move to the next system, which is operations. Operations is everything you do to serve your clients. Phenomenal operations delivers a meaningful that does what? Yep. And then a phenomenal operation system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. Tom and I went to Australia the first time, and they invited us back, and it was Thanksgiving Day. We were leaving the next day to go back to do a five-city tour in Australia to teach this. It was a one-day. And he texted me on Thanksgiving Day and said, we're taking Dad to the ER, and I'll keep you posted. And I was freaking out. And then as the evening grew on, he said, I might have to stay behind because I don't know how serious this is. And, you know, would you be willing to go by yourself? And I said, absolutely. And the truth is that I do about 87% of it anyway. And, you know, but the problem is that they had it billed and had it listed as the Tom Ziegler Seminar. So I get over there, and the first city is Brisbane. I got all these people expecting Tom Ziegler. And he ain't here. And I'm seeing them kind of looking at me like, And Zig didn't get better. I did Brisbane. I flew to Sydney. I did Sydney. I'm trying to get information. Did Sydney. Flew to Melbourne. And I kept refreshing my computer until I went to bed. And then when I got up the next morning, it was all over Facebook that Zig Ziglar had passed away. I was hoping that I could get back before then. And so that was a hard day for everybody, not just for me. And I had already scheduled after that trip to go to the Great Barrier Reef and to go there for 4 days. I went there to finish. Who has the Five Secrets book, the business book? Whoever has that one.
Oh, I have it.
You have it. Who won that a while ago? Anyway, I spent the time over there to finish that book and already had it scheduled and all of that. So here, on one hand, the emotion is I'm just incredibly honored to be carrying the torch for Ziegler under those circumstances. At the same time, hurting for the family, wanted to be back home. And I decided, since this was a bucket list thing, that instead of taking the 2-hour boat ride over there, they had an option to take a helicopter. And it wasn't that expensive, but it was an incredible experience. Everybody in Australia was just incredible. I mean, just phenomenal people. They would stop and talk to you, and even flight attendants would just chat with you. You know, it's awesome. So I'm going out to this island. This is the island I'm going to be on for 4 days. And this helicopter is coming down to land on this island. And I expected this little guy in a white suit to come running out, you know, the plane, right? Fantasy Island. I mean, I'm expecting there's going to be people standing there with a tropical drink and the fruit and the umbrella and the cold towel. You know, I mean, if you had a product that looked like this, isn't that what you would do? But I wasn't on the ground very long before I realized that this is not going to be the experience that matches the product. Phenomenal website, got me signed up, everything. I'm looking forward to this trip. They never called a guest by name. It was a bother, anything that... It, and everybody is kind of weird too, because everybody that worked at this one and only resort lived on the island, right? So if you're walking down the pathway or whatever, and it's not that big, you know, they would kind of wouldn't make eye contact with you. I mean, you might actually ask for something, you know. It was not the most phenomenal service experience ever. So the point is that all of these systems around the circle work together. You can have the best marketing. You can have the best sales. You get the very best client and then blow it on the service experience. I don't want that to happen to you. In fact, one of the things that you want to understand and you want to teach your people is what we call the PLV of a client. It's the potential lifetime value of a client, a customer, a patient, a guest, or a member, however you identify your clients. On page 13, there is an exercise here. I want you to think about your average order that a client would place in a year's time. All right, what's the average billing, the average project size, the average sale? All right, put that in the first space there.
Yeah, for someone like my company,
yep.
This is like a one-time thing.
Yep, one time. That's okay. We'll get there. Okay. All right, and then what you're going to do is you are going to, we need to add this to the book. If you'll look at the slide, how many times a year would this person repeat that purchase? In your case, it would be zero, okay? And if you have an annual billing or a monthly billing or whatever, then it would be once a year, okay? Then the next question is, and so that's going to give you your annual value, okay? So then you take your annual value, let's say it's $5,000 times, you know, once a year, then that would be $5,000, okay? Now, how many of you have been in business for more than 10 years, all right? I've been in business 30 years. What if I still had every single customer that I ever acquired? What if I was thinking about today on day one, right? So now let's take that figure times 20 years, because hopefully you'll be around 20 years. And that's going to give you the single client lifetime value, all right? Who has a figure there that they want to share? Yes, ma'am.
Mine's 1.2
million. 1.2 million. All right. Now, how many referrals could you potentially generate from a single client in a year's time? Fill that in. You can guess. Now, the potential number of referrals guess what figure you're going to use in the next space? That's right. The 1.2 million. And the reason is because you're planning on keeping that referral for 20 years, right? You're going to turn them into a lifetime client. So when you add the single client lifetime value with the lifetime and the lifetime value, you get your total PLV, your total potential lifetime value. And it's probably going to be a huge number. Does anybody have a huge number in front of them? How much?
$20 million.
$20 million that could be generated from a single client. Unfortunately, when that person walks into our store, when that person calls our company, when we go out to their home or business, we're thinking about the job that needs to be done. But what we need to see is we need to see a price tag of $20 million or whatever that dollar amount is. It will change the way that you market your company. It'll change the way that you service your company, right? And service your clients. There's $20 million riding on this service call, this presentation. It changes something. What does the potential lifetime value depend on?
Your service.
It depends on your service. What else?
Consistent, positive experience.
Positive experience. What else?
Trust.
Trust. What else?
If they're still around.
If they're still around. Only 1% die, so most people leave because of indifference toward the customer. I'll go back to the Great Barrier Reef. Can't wait to go back to Australia, but I'll never go back to that particular resort. I will never give them a positive referral, right? That flow has been cut off in my case. You don't want that to happen. What else does it depend on? I still get emails from them. I even told the manager when I was checking out. And this was the icing on the cake. The icing on the cake is I'm waiting in line to check out to leave the island, and there's one poor agent trying to check everybody out, and the manager, I don't know what he's doing, he's fiddling around with something, and then he tells one of the other employees, would you take care of that over there? Talking about a guest. I'm like, wasn't me, he was talking about somebody else, but it was another human. They were alive.
But he called them that.
They called them that.
I had an experience like that in Virgin Islands.
I just about came over that counter, okay? And I understand that they haven't been trained, so I approached him very gently and I said, look, the island's phenomenal, but your folks, obviously, people just need to be trained over here. I mean, I'd be glad to come back. If you don't use me, use somebody that knows customer service, knows how to train people. We could start by just making eye contact, calling people by name. What did Dale Carnegie say, that the sweetest music, sweetest sound in any language to any human beings is their own name, right? Start there. Simple. Anyway, does the potential lifetime value depend on you staying in touch with that client? Might it depend on you communicating to them why it's a good idea to refer your service? Does your business depend on repeat and referral business? Yes. So it's not just the service experience, it's also everything that we've covered ahead of time. The biggest marketing mistake of all is not staying in touch with those clients. And I forgot to tell you the story, so I'll tell you now about the plumber. So I got a plumbing company that comes and changes the filters out in our home once a year or whatever. But we never heard from them during the year. There was no postcard, there was no newsletter, no reminder. There was a reminder call once a year. That was it. Okay? I buy a building and I needed $6,000 worth of plumbing done in my building. And I was networking with another plumber. I never thought about that plumber that comes to our house. Never entered my mind. Remember the file?
Yeah.
Wasn't even in the file. It had been taken out of the file. It had been erased off of the file. Never even thought about him until after the work was done.
That was the big ticket item.
I don't even remember his name. So you want to have something that goes out in the mail on a regular basis. You want to be communicating with your clients on a regular basis. Have an email newsletter that goes out to them. And don't ever, 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 ever let them forget who you are and why it's important to know who you are. Yes, ma'am. The question was, is there any data to determine whether email or mail is better? I can't cite any specific reports, but I can tell you my own experience that emails, first of all, you should do it because even if they don't open your emails, they see your name or your company name every week. Those eyeballs are seeing your company name. They're being reminded of you, and that's important. There's something called TOMA, top of mind awareness. That's step one. Then if you have a good subject line or they're ready, they'll open that email. I'll give you a great example. So I like to get, I've got some issues with my back, and I like to get a massage from time to time. And every time that spa sends me an email, I open it because I'm looking in there to see if I can save some money on. I pay them full price, no problem. But once in a while, they'll have it where you could buy six and get one free or something like that. I'm looking for that. I'm opening every single email that they send me, right? And so when you're sending value, when you're sending things and you have that kind of relationship, but email is too easy to ignore. So you need to put something in the mail to them that they can touch, that they can feel, that they feel good about. Have an automatic thank you letter that goes out. Have a birthday card that goes out, something like that. Have a monthly, you know, little newsletter or something like this. I'll tell you a great program to use. It's called Send Out Cards. Is anybody familiar with it? Send Out Cards. If you go to sendoutcards.com, you need a code. I'll give you my code. It's 7162. And with Send Out Cards, you can choose from 16,000 greeting cards. 7162. And you can send a couple of cards free on my account. I'll pay for your cards. You just go there. It'll have you create an account, and you can send a couple of cards. What did I just share with you? Right, free trial offer. If you like it, you're going to get an account, you're going to use it, and you should. I use Send Out Cards, or I should say my staff uses Send Out Cards every single day. Because here's the thing. If all of business is about relationships, certainly the most meaningful communication that you can send someone is a personal greeting card, right? But here's the problem. Who takes the time to write a thank you note every single time without fail? And if your handwriting is as bad as mine, you're not going to do it, right? So on Send Out Cards, you can not only pick one of their 16,000 cards, but you can put a picture inside. You can create your own card with your picture. Then you can send it to a whole list, like your consultants, you could have a card that goes out every month that, you know, highlighting the guys that are on the top and what the, whatever the experience is, you know, that's building a relationship with them, right? Every birthday, every anniversary, whatever, it's all coded in there. And so they get that automatically. The doctors, to get an appointment, you could send them a card. But here's the cool thing. Along with the card, you can include a gift card, Starbucks, American Express. You can send CDs and books. And you can send, you can even send my book, The 5 Secrets of a Phenomenal Business. And you can send the most delicious brownies you've ever tasted in your entire life. So think about this for a second. You're trying to get an appointment with a doctor, and Susie, the rejectionist that, you know, you're trying to build a relationship with, you send her a personal greeting card, and it looks handwritten. It comes in a white envelope. You send her a personal card, and it's printed, sent through the mail, and a box of brownies. You're probably going to get a phone call, right? Have you had the send-out cards, brownies? They're amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They're amazing. Doesn't matter if you're on a diet, if you do health stuff or whatever, it's going to get eaten. I don't care what kind of diet. I mean, it's just, they're just that good, right? That's the secret weapon without even having to be there, right? So what if you had just a greeting card that comes out on a regular basis? Here's the other cool thing that you can do. So you can have a group that any group, that say a networking group that you belong to, or you went and did a presentation, and everybody in that audience gets a card, a thank you card or whatever, and each one of them is personalized to them. It just drops the first name in from the database, right? Here's the other cool thing. You can create campaigns. So you have a new client that you want to take through an orientation period and educate them. First one is, hey, thanks for using our service. The second one is, by the way, have you checked your water heater lately? Here's when you should replace it. Here's how you check it. Have any questions, give us a call. Third card comes out, hey, so good to have you as a new client. By the way, do you know about our referral reward program? Fourth card that comes out says something like, you know, do you have leaky faucets? Did you know that one leaky faucet can cost you X amount of, you know, your friendly local plumber, just, we got your back, whatever Fox News says, you know, we got you. What do they say? What does he say? We got your back or whatever. Bill O'Reilly. We're looking out for you. There you go. Okay. Just go Joe Girard on people. Anybody know who Joe Girard is? Sold more cars than any car salesman in history.
Oh, the guy used to throw cards out at the dog.
Yeah, that's him. Okay. So Joe Girard had a secret. This is how he sold more cars than anybody. I mean, he did a lot of crazy things, yes. He threw out, you know, cards, business cards like confetti at ball games and crazy things like that. He'd get out the phone book and just call me. He did crazy stuff. But one thing that he did that was the secret that was brilliant. Every single person who bought a car from him got a greeting card from him every single month. Every month. Every month, the name Joe Girard is going to be mentioned in that household. If the holiday's coming up, Merry Christmas. Birthday card. He might not even know when your birthday is, but everybody gets a birthday card this month, you know, and it's happy birthday. If it happens to be the month of your birthday, great, that's a bonus, you know.
Isn't there at some point, though, a point of diminishing returns where you are over? And I'm thinking, I guess, more of email than because I don't want to bombard, because I get annoyed if I get too much of emails. For example, I have three daughters, and they shop at they love Justice.
Yep.
And I was so excited to sign up for Justice's email list because I am always looking for coupons.
Yep.
And I canceled it within a week because I was getting literally 4 to 5 emails a day from them.
That's too many.
Instantly lost me.
So how many for your client is the right amount?
That's what I'm asking you.
Okay. If I had a retail store, here's where I would probably start. I would probably start once a week.
Okay.
I'd probably start once a week. My list, I email twice a week. Our coaching members, they hear from us three times a week, but remember, they're engaged. They're getting on our coaching calls. They're coming to events. We got a lot of stuff. It's like family, right? They're our community.
I'm doing once a month email.
You're doing once a month?
Once a month email, unless we have special events going on, and in which case there would be an additional email informing about the special event.
Are you watching your numbers, how many people opt in, how many people opt out, and engagement? Are you looking at that tracking? What program are you using?
StreamSend.
Okay. All right. I would look at those stats, and I would probably increase it. I used to do monthly in one of my companies, and then I went to every 2 weeks, and then I went to every 10 days, and I finally settled on weekly. And every now and then, we'll sneak a second one in there, but not once a day, not five times a week. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Can
okay.
I ask another question?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you addressed earlier on the book thing. Where do you get the time? I mean, if I can't afford to pay anybody to do this at this point.
Yep. To write a book?
To do any of this. I mean, because I'm sitting here looking at this and just working out, because I know right now the things that I do every single day take me all day long. And
okay.
All I'm doing is marketing.
Yep.
That's all I'm doing.
Yep.
Trying to get it. Get a client, and it's taking me all day long.
Yep.
And the thought of adding in the cards and the handwritten stuff.
Yep.
I'm already working how many hours a day? 14 or 15?
Really?
12?
How about 24/7?
Oh, well, no, not 24/7.
No, she works until she sleeps and she gets up and starts again.
Okay, so here's the question. The question is, are there things that you could do to be more efficient that would save you time in the future? Question one.
Yes.
Question two is...
That are free. Because money is an issue. I don't have the money right now to pay for all these services to do it for me. I have to do it myself.
Okay.
It's just not an option.
All right. So we have to look at what you're doing and say, is there a more effective way to use that hour to get a better return? That's going to be question number one, okay? If we're working all day just to make ends meet, our business model is broken.
Well, I don't have a business model. I mean, I just started it again in August.
Well, and so you're in the startup phase, and you got to just get as much done as you possibly can. But the thing is that, let me think of an example. Okay. So I can either go out there and chop down weeds, you know, all day long, or I can go out there and I can do a better job in the beginning of putting the right seed in the ground and I might have to start doing just 25% of this over here and keep doing 75% of what I've been doing and eventually just do better processes where I'm not just whacking weeds all the time. Does that make sense?
Where you're going with that. You're like a guy's chopping wood with an axe and he chops half the amount of the wood that the guy chops and the other guy's sitting down.
Yeah, the two lumberjacks.
Sharpening his axe.
Yeah.
And he chopped twice the amount of wood in half the time.
Yeah, we have to work smarter rather than harder. And so what we want to do is we want to look through this list and we want to do a couple things. One is, are there things that you're learning here today and tomorrow that I could do what I do differently to get better results so I don't have to work all day for this yield, number one. Number two, when we get done with all of these assessments, what you want to do, what we teach our coaching clients to do is, in the first session that we have with them, is we go through that assessment and we have them pick four of those items, okay? you pick the four items from these assessments that are going to have the biggest impact on your business in the next 90 days, okay? Then what you do is you invest that 1 hour a day sharpening your saw, and you work on your projects. You get your action list for the day before the day starts, and you delegate, and you send emails, and you do all this stuff so that the rest of the day you can be in production, whatever that is. If it's marketing, if it's service, or, you know, whatever. But if we just burn the candle at both ends, if we don't take time to sharpen the saw, if we don't take time to work on the business, if we don't take time to redo one process that'll get us better results, then we're going to stay stuck. All right? The key is learn marketing so that you can get your income up so that you can take a portion of that and pay someone to do that or buy some send-out cards. Nice thing about emails, it's practically free.
Right.
You know, that's a good thing.
Well, it is free if you go through MailChimp and your list is right. less than 2,000.
Right.
You can do it for free.
Right.
Mail what?
MailChimp?
Yeah.
MailChimp.
Like
a monkey? MailChimp.
Yeah, like a monkey.
If you send out every time, if your contact list is less than 2,000, they'll let you set up a free account and you can build your own template in there. Because that's the one I'm using because it's free.
What's your email? Can you pass my email address?
Yep. It's all, the entire thing. It comes out of my email address and they track for me. Who's open, who's closed.
Yep.
Where my, my opt-in and drop-out rates.
Yep.
They do it all for me.
One of the cool things about that is that, and I started with Constant Contact, which is very similar to MailChimp.
Is.
Yeah, and there's.
I read the reviews on those.
Yeah, and there's AWeber, and there's. And I use Infusionsoft now, but that's like, you know, the Mac Daddy. It's like the Cadillac. It's like, you know, because it'll do all this stuff, right? But the point is that that's an easy way. That's one. Thing. So here's a good example of working smart rather than hard. Okay, I'll give you a great example. Using this as an example, I can go meet people and get their card and sit there and enter an email address, or I can create an opt-in on MailChimp or on Constant Contact or Infusionsoft or whatever, and there's a link that I can have just right there on my phone. And when I meet somebody, I say, hey, Nate, so nice to meet you. It's great talking to you. I'd love to stay in touch with you. And sounds like you're interested in my free report or get my free CD, right? And so I'd be happy to send it to you. Do you mind if you just, would you mind just filling out this form here and you'll be all set and it'll come to you automatically. As soon as he presses send, my MailChimp or Constant Contact or Infusionsoft or whatever, before he even leaves the room, he has the thank you email and a video and everything. And I didn't do any work.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, like, if you didn't want to have, because, like, I go to a lot of networking events.
Yeah.
And I do, I get people's cards.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I really, you know, after our conversation or during our conversation, if I want to say, hey, fill this out for me. Can I do that later with that
card? Yes.
You know, or have... Because I have, or like one of my assistants do it for me.
If you're going to email someone, then what you want to do is get their permission.
To, yes.
Yep. And I'm gonna put you on my email list just so we can stay in touch and we won't forget about each other. And there's some special offers and whatever. Great. And so then you take that card and you want to eventually have different groups. Like this is a networking contact. This is a prospect. You know. You might have different groups, right? So you take that card, you give it to your assistant, and they put it in. Here's the cool thing about send-out cards is that it takes them 60 seconds to put it in send-out cards. They hit the button, and that thank you card that you've set up already automatically goes out to them. So everybody that you met in a networking group last night is getting a thank you card 3 days later, and they're getting an email right away. That's cool stuff, yeah. Okay, let's do our operations assessment, and then I'll share with you the 9 steps to creating marketing and delivering a phenomenal service experience.
Has the owner owner of Send Out Cards done your program?
See what?
Has the owner of Send Out Cards done your program?
Jordan Adler. That's who.
Jordan Adler.
So done which program?
Well, we know a guy in one of our networking groups that does send out cards, and he always talks about you.
I think he's the owner.
I think he might be the owner. Or
he's the owner, for sure.
And he might have done one of your trainings, because he talks about you.
He talks about me?
Yes.
Jordan Adler talks about me?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's not the owner, but he's like the top guy.
Yeah. He's
Cody Bateman's the owner.
He's a pretty cool, I know he has a cool car.
He got a lot of cool stuff. When you make $1 million a month, you got a lot of cool stuff. When are you going to see Jordan again?
He's in a BNI that we this BNI training that we did.
Why don't we do a video on your phone that you can show him next time you see him? That'd be awesome. I hope he says good things. He says good things about me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jordan Adler?
I met him.
That's crazy.
I met him and we did his send out cards thing, and another BNI member sent us the brownies. That's all. I was like, oh, the brownies are good.
They're good.
Yeah.
He's got a good thing going.
Yeah. Yeah, in 2009, I signed up more people directly than anybody in the system in 2009. Then we got kind of distracted on some other things. But I love send out cards. In fact, I need to bring that up and show it to you.
It's like two. I think you can get more. I think it depends on your budget.
So I can send it to one person. It would be like
10. Oh, no, it's just like two. When we got it, and you can really customize the card. It's kind of cool. Our dog goes to work with us sometimes, and she happened to be at the office the day we met with this business associate. And so when he sent out the send-out cards, it was... there was like a dog on the card. I can't remember it specifically. And it said something cute like, don't feed these to Bella. These are for you. You know, it's just
is
really
it
custom.
Is it handwritten or it's
typed? It's typed, but it looks like it's...
I'll show you. I'll bring it up on the screen and I'll show you guys. We've got a little extra time. I'll show you how it works.
And you can insert your own photo in
there. Yeah, I'll show you. In fact, I think what would be fun to close the day off before we get done is if we take a group picture and I put it on send out cards and show you guys how to do this.
Yeah.
That'd be fun?
Yeah. That'd be cool.
And then I'll get the database from them and you guys will all get a group picture and a card, okay? How's that?
That's awesome.
Yes? Is that BTP better than phenomenal? Okay. All right. How's your operations look?
Worse than sales.
Worse than sales. Okay. All right.
Sales pretty bad.
All right. Let's go to page 15. Administration is our fourth system. It's everything that you do to track your numbers. Phenomenal administration delivers vital stats that gives you the proper feedback on your progress. And I bet you could guess what the last one is supposed to say, can't you? Phenomenal administration system. A phenomenal administration system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. We make you write that 5 times. And the reason that we do is because I want you to understand systems. Tomorrow morning, when you come in, I'm going to teach you how to build systems in your business. And then we're going to do leadership, and it's going to be off the charts. We're just getting warmed up today. We did a few little hills on the roller coaster, but tomorrow is like, bam. Yes, sir. What's that?
No, we're
going to
eat.
I have no idea what we're going to eat. What do you have? Just curious. Kanye.
I don't want to eat the same thing.
Oh, Rob wants to know what we're eating tomorrow so that he doesn't eat the same thing tonight.
I can definitely find out for you. I'm sure you won't eat the same thing tonight. I'm positive that you won't, because Chef Pete doesn't do anything that's like a normal.
What's your profile again? Which group were you in? Were you in the eyes over here?
Yeah. I've taken the DISC test, and it was...
Food is very important to eyes.
Yes.
Right?
And the D's.
Okay. Well, D's, we can eat the same thing every day, you know? You eat standing up over the sink, done, you know? Okay. All right. Page 16. This is your five numbers that we talked about earlier. Sales, cost of goods, gross profit, fixed expense, net. You could use that little formula if you wanted to that we talked about earlier. Step one, fill in your net, then go and see what your overhead is for the year. Fill that in. Add those two together. That gives you your gross profit. So let's do a quick exercise here. Let's say that you want to make how much in net profit in your small business? Throw a number out.
Net.
How much?
Couple million?
100,000. Let's do 100,000 since that's more realistic for small businesses. So put 100,000 in there, okay? All right. Now, what's your fixed expense?
I said the net of sales. Right?
The net, yeah. We're going from the bottom up. What's your overhead? What's your fixed expense?
75,000.
How much?
75.
60. Let's do 100,000 for to make the math easy. Okay.
That's per year.
It could be per year, per month, but just the exercise works no matter what numbers you put in there. This is you can put your own numbers in there. Okay, but for this exercise, 100,000 net. 100,000 fixed expense. So you add those two together, gives you a gross profit of 200,000, right? Okay. Now, what is the cost of sale percentage? What is that cost of goods sold running? Percentage wise. Okay, so my cost of sale is 36%. Let's check this math. So put 36% out to the side of cost of goods sold. Okay? Now, if you divide 200,000 by 0.36, if you divide your gross profit by 0.36, what do you come up with?
$555,555.
And what's the rest of it?
$555,555.
Okay. All right.
What did you divide? I'm sorry. Our gross profit divided by?
That's 200,000 divided by 0.36, correct?
I might have hit 2 million.
You got the same thing?
Yeah, that's right.
Divided by 0.36?
Divided by.
5-to-1 ratio.
Not at 36%.
Let's check the math. Hold on.
Our cost is
all right. Now, what is 555,000 times 0.36? 200? Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you got 100% minus 36%, which is what?
64%.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So I'm sorry. So what you do is don't, Tracy, time out. Okay. Divide 200,000 by 0.64. 0.64. It's the difference between your cost of goods.
312,500.
Yep. So that's your sales goal. 312,000
divided by 0.64.
Divided by 0.64 is 312 what?
312,500.
Is that what you guys got? Okay. Now. That's right. Let's bring it up on the screen.
Okay.
Okay. So our net is 100,000, right? Correct? Our expense is 100,000. Gives us a gross profit of 200,000, right? We determined that our cost of goods sold is 36%. Where did we get that number from? We looked at our income statement. We saw that, you know, the amount of money that we're paying out for labor and clothing that we're bringing in, that we're buying or whatever it is, you know, that's the that's consumed in making the sale, is 36%, correct? That means our gross profit is 64%. That's where that 64 comes from. So when you divide your gross profit of 200,000 by 0.64, that gives you your sales number. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Quick question, because everything's a little different with Rhonda and I. We aren't selling anything, right? So fixed expenses is going to be salaries and office expenditures, rents, that sort of thing for us, right?
Well, no. Did you say fixed expense?
Fixed expense.
Yeah. Your fixed expense is down here.
Because we're on a commission base, right? So it's sales commission.
Yeah.
Clinical support, so we pay them on a percentage of, as well.
Okay.
Commissions. Yeah. That would go in our cost of goods sold. Correct?
Yeah, probably what I would put in your cost of goods sold is your commissioned salespeople. Mm-hmm. You could do it either way, but the thing is that the question is this number, what needs to be in this number here is when there's huge swings in revenue, what changes dramatically when you sell 100,000 versus a million?
Well, that's the way it's structured right now is the clinicians get X amount of dollars per transmission to read that transmission. So that's part of the sale.
Okay, that could be in cost of goods.
Sales guys yep. are the same. So those would yep. be COGS above the line, right?
Yep, yep.
And then the fixed expense would be below the line, which would be Rhonda and her administrative staff.
Correct.
Okay, but how can my COGS be 555,000 if my sales are only 312,000?
They're not. All right. Okay. So your gross profit is 200,000, which is 64%. We divided our gross profit by 64.64. We got our $312,000 sales goal. Now take 312,500 times 0.36. That gives you your cost of goods number.
112.5. So my COGS were 112,500, and my profit was 200,000.
Gross profit's 200.
Before expenses.
And yeah.
So that would mean a total sales of 312,000.
Yeah. So check this out. Here's what's cool about this. And I know it's a very simplistic way to do this, but you could take the most complex income statement in the world. Right. Take 100%. We did, yes. You could take an income statement that's a mile long. There's only five numbers on there. Doesn't matter how complex, how many categories, how many items are on the chart of accounts, how many accounts there are. There's only five numbers. I don't care how big it is. It's only five numbers. And math doesn't lie. So here's the important thing to a small business owner. Hopefully you know how much money you need to be taken out of that business to reach your life goals. Hopefully we're keeping some in the business for that rainy day or that business evil or whatever. And remember that we've got to take taxes out of that too. So we got to come up with that number first. We know what our expenses are because we can read those reports. That's a known number right there. So then, if I want to hit this sales goal or this net, then I know what my GP has to be, and I can do that quick calculation, and I know how much I need to sell. I know that if I don't sell enough there, that I'm not going to get this. And I can even do a calculation on this on my break even and know when I'm losing money too. Now there's plenty of Excel spreadsheets and all that for this stuff, but then would just be more confused. This is just a simple, dimple way of looking at this, that you can do your future income statement on a piece of notebook paper. It should be that simple. I look at my financials every week. I look at my income statement, and I do a very simple process. I run three reports on my profit and loss. I run the last 12 months, and then I run year to date, and then I run month to date, and I print them out. And then I get out my pen, and I check off everything that's up or down, highlight anything that I want to pay attention to. But the first thing that I do is I look at these five numbers. I go right to the bottom line, and I compare it, by the way, to the previous period. Okay, so I run the last 12 months compared to the previous 12 months. I run year-to-date compared to the previous year. I run month-to-date compared to the same month last year. And that way I can see my trends. Does that make sense? Market Sharp? Mm-mm. Okay. What do they do?
It does a lot of these things that we're talking about, but all of them. I've not used them yet, but
okay.
I'm looking into it.
The program?
Oh.
What do you mean they?
It's like software that does like the mail outs and the emails.
Oh, got it. Yeah. We've kind of moved on from that to the financial part, but I'm going to just tell you this from personal experience. Pay attention to your numbers. Math does not lie. It is what it is. And I want you to be phenomenally profitable. So, you know who got me out of my financial mess? Take a guess. That helped. Ellen Rohr. Our friend Ellen Rohr. She's going to be speaking at our conference. She took Benjamin Franklin Plumbing from $0 to $40 million in franchise sales in 18 months. 18 months. In franchise sales. She went out, she walked in and out of 72 different plumbing companies. She is amazing. She'll be speaking at our conference in October. I gave you guys a postcard on that. And so what she does is she teaches companies how to price their services. She teaches them the financial basics so you can know where the money's going. And she came in, I hired her, and she came in and just kicked my butt. Because I got credit card debt. I got, you know, I didn't worry about how much money we're spending. Hey, let's just sell some more, market some more. And then life became about making that monthly payment. And then when that runs out and you have to tell that credit card company that I know my credit card payment's due tomorrow to the tune of about $40,000, but you're not going to be getting any money. It's not an easy phone call to make. It's not an easy conversation when you have to let somebody go because you haven't been faithful with your finances. So Ellen Rohr got a hold of me. I got a partner. His name is Scott Zack. He's a Dave Ramsey fanatic. And because of those three people, we don't carry any credit card debt. I don't carry any balances on personal credit cards. My companies are going to be profitable, period, end of story. There is no reason not to make money. We do not touch our line of credit. It's a crisis if we have to get even close to, even for a day. And that's a far cry from where I was many years ago of transferring a few dollars from account to pay a credit card bill. Keep from bouncing a check. She's amazing. She'll be at our conference. Okay, let's turn to the next page, do our final assessment, and then I'll show you guys send out cards as a little bonus. So go ahead and do your administration assessment, page 17, 1 through 10. 1 to 10. This one is the one that'll really depress you.
Yes, I tracked it. There was nothing there.
You can give yourself a... if you track it...
I do track it. Just
it doesn't say how much you made. It just said if you track it, you can put a 10 on there. You track it consistently. Would you take a group picture for us in a minute? Then I'm going to email it to myself and do a card and stuff.
You want me to take me for phone or I have a camera?
Can you email from that directly from that camera?
I can put it on my computer and email it to you.
And put it on my computer?
Yeah.
Do you have a card that'll just go straight on my computer?
Yeah. Do you have an SD card?
I think so.
Yeah, I think this is
that SD?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, your camera is much better. I love the pictures that you take, by the way. All right, so Andre is getting his camera, and we will do a photo together.
When are you going to tell us about your business out of your truck?
I'll tell you about it right now. How about that? Okay. What would you like to know?
Cigarettes that fell off of the truck.
What's that?
Was it cigarettes that fell off of the truck?
No, I actually still own that business.
You started a business out of a trunk of $3,000 you got for your
wedding. Yeah.
And you turned it into something profitable.
Yeah. So I still own.
Why was it? And how did you do it?
All right. So I still own that business today. And it is a very profitable $3 million a year business, hugely profitable. And what we do is that business cares for high-end oriental rugs and natural stone floors for some of Houston's most prominent citizens, world leaders, celebrities, names that you would recognize.
So would that be like a carpet and tile restoration?
We do carpet, we do tile as well, but we really focus on the real high-end stuff. Like, for example, Oriental rugs, yep. So we have one of our services, we do almost $500,000 in the only permanent fabric protector in the world. That's one of our exclusive licenses that we have, and that's a separate business. Permanent.
You started this how many years ago?
30 years ago.
Out of the trunk of your car, you had a fabric protector that you'd spin on the curb and go, I can protect your car.
He wants the details, doesn't he?
Yeah,
now, here's what happened. So here's what happened. So I'm in New Jersey. This guy's driving around in a Mercedes, and I'm like, I want a Mercedes. I want to have my own business, you know. So I go back to Houston, and my real dad and my stepmother had an interior design business, and they started kind of telling me about some of the service providers that cleaned rugs and did floors and things like that for them. So I got myself some equipment, and I just started cleaning out of the trunk of my car. And they referred me to other designers and to flooring companies and people like that. And I had incredible customer service. I would work all night if that's what was required. I worked hard and I had great customer service, and that's what helped me. but I didn't know the business skills, right? So I got up to, in 1997, I got up to $360,000 a year. I had about five employees. Everything revolved around me. And that's when I read Michael Gerber's book and realized that I could have a turnkey business. So I go back to Houston, and I was interacting with a couple other guys in that industry, and I invited them to be partners. And I had 51%, they had 24.5% each. And we started building the company together, right? So from 1998, we went from 360 to over a million, and then we went to 1.6 million, then we went to over 2 million, and we stayed at about 2.2, right around in there for a period of time. And in 2005, I bought them out. And I paid them off, and so I still own that company 100%, and I built a team. So I have three leaders who do the management part, and we have staff, we have systems. So that business runs without me. I don't even have to be there. I don't even go to our weekly meetings. I don't do anything there. I haven't even addressed the whole team. I've talked to the whole team once in the last 8 months, and they didn't even want me to be there. They were like, thought we were done with you. So I see them on a fairly regular basis because Phenomenal Products is in the same building. So when I go out, I meet with my Phenomenal Products team every week for 2 hours. And so I see my team, my staff, and I say hello, and I love them, and they love me. We have a Christmas party, and we have a summer party, and, you know, so I still see them a lot. And if they want to call me, they can call me. But I interact mostly with my three leaders. They have an issue, a challenge, a problem. They send me an email. They call me, whatever. And then once a year, we do business planning together for 2 or 3 days. So next week, they'll be in, I have a home in Florida now, and so they'll come to my house in Florida, and we'll have a big 3-day, you know, rest, relax, plan, and we'll just plan out 2016. So it's awesome. That's a turnkey business so that I can spend time, you know, in this business, building this business. Then we've got a little franchise company up in North Houston that's a spinoff of that business. We own a Marble Care franchise called Marble Life. We have the license agreement with the fabric protector. I still get checks from Send Out Cards every month, so that's another stream. So I've got multiple streams of income that I've built over time. But this is my baby. This is what I love to do. It's Phenomenal Products. So we have coaching members all over the world in 97 different industries. And I do a weekly webcast every Tuesday. And I have two main coaches. I actually have five coaches altogether. Ellen Rohr is one of our coaches that works with us. And so I have five coaches altogether, two main coaches that work with our clients. And we teach them these systems, and we hold them accountable. We have weekly group calls, and we have a conference that we do every quarter. So my job, what I do every day now, is I'm always preparing for our next event, my next weekly webinar. I go speak around the country. I handle a few of our higher level coaching members myself. I do some coaching, consulting. If they're at a higher level, then I'll work with them personally myself. And I go to the beach a lot. And it's awesome. So turnkey business, yep. So, all right, so any other questions before we take this picture and do send out cards? Is that enough about my businesses for you?
Thank you.
Did I tell you too much? I didn't ask you enough questions.
We'll get some more details tomorrow.
You were in that C group, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Anything else before we take a picture? Nope. Does anybody know Zig Ziglar's real name? Huh? That's right.
And the only reason I know is because I was curious last night when I was telling my husband, and he's like, who's Zig Ziglar?
Yeah.
His name is what?
Hillary Hinton. That was his real name. Hillary.
When did he change?
Hinton.
Probably as soon as possible.
That's right. As soon as possible.
The day he turned 18.
Man, I'm telling you. Actually, what happened is the school kids, the other kids in school, started calling him Zig. That was his nickname. So it kind of stuck. Yeah.